This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fa ma ba'du. We continue with our answering the question that Umar Abdul Al, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may bless him and keep him protected, Hafiz of Allah, asked me about the permissibility, the advice with regard to tarbiyah. Basically, is it permissible to reprimand, especially we are talking now here about children. Maybe you are coaching a team of some sports team, maybe you are a teacher in a school, maybe your own children and your nephews and nieces and grandchildren and so on. Is it permissible to reprimand them if they need that? Is it permissible to correct them? Is it permissible to tell them that they are doing or they have done wrong? Is it permissible to ask them why they did what they did? In the light of the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that he served Rasulullah for 10 years and Rasulullah never even said oof to him, and he never asked him why did you do whatever you did. So this is the second part of the answer. Second part of the answer, I am saying here that in the case of the hadith, we are looking at an exceptional human being, Anas ibn Malik, who was in 24-hour immersion tarbiyah program, sohbah program, with Rasulullah himself. His tarbiyah was never even handed over to another person. There is no narrative to say, Ya Abu Bakr, take over the tarbiyah of this young man or this boy. Never. Anas bin Malik was under the direct tarbiyah of Rasulullah. So my question to myself anyway is, how many times do you think he did anything in the first place which required Rasulullah to reprimand him? So that's the first thing to keep in mind. Second thing to keep in mind is that when we are looking at tarbiyah, we are looking at the responsibility of parents. Parents do not have, and teachers do not have their position because parents don't have that position just because they happen to be biological parents. Teachers don't have that position just because they happen to be appointed as the teacher of the madrasa or the class or the school. They have that exalted position, they have that position of honor because of what they do and what they are supposed to do. And that is tarbiyah. And tarbiyah consists of, when required, of correcting, of guiding, of mentoring, of, if necessary, reprimanding. So there is nothing to feel apologetic about that. The question is, how do you do that? Now, one of the things that I, for example, and I'm not placing myself as the ideal model of tarbiyah, of how to do tarbiyah. I'm just sharing my personal experience of having done that for several unfortunates in my life. There's a rule that I follow. The first rule I follow is that I treat the child with respect. I never abuse the child. I never call him names. I never curse him. Or her, no matter what they did. I always treat them with respect. Second thing is that I always operate from the belief and from the position that let us find the reason why something happened before we decide to judge that thing. So I always ask the question, why did you do this? Whatever the thing is, right? It doesn't matter what it was. Why did you do this? Why did you behave in this way? Number one. Then second thing what I do is, and then I lead the child through a system and through a process of reasoning which shows them that at the time they did whatever they did, they had other alternatives. They could have chosen to do something else. The way they dealt with that situation was not the only thing that was available, that was not the only option available to them. They could have chosen equally easily to deal with it in a different way. And I don't tell them what that way is. I just tell them, okay, so when you, for example, you had a fight with your classmate. He beat you up, you beat him up, whatever the case was, you cursed him out. So why did that happen? So they was, oh, no. And I usually get the other person there as well, if I can possibly do that. So then I'll get this whole, no, I'm not talking about, the fight is over, right? Now we are analyzing that. So think about that. Why did this fight happen? So these are the reasons. Okay, fantastic. What were the options available to you at that time? Was cursing and fighting the only option? Could you have dealt with that in some other way? What were you trying to achieve when you went into this thing? Did you have a goal in mind, a plan in mind? Were you trying to achieve something? Or this was just, just got angry and it blew? What was it? And then I finally come, I say, okay, now that this is over, now that we have learned the lessons, now that the thing is over, what do you want to do? Do you want to make up? Do you want to be friends again? What are the options of and the benefits of making up? What are the benefits or harmful facts of not making up? Believe me, this whole process of what happened, why did it happen, what were the options, and what do you want to do about that now, going forward? This is a process, incidentally, I also use in my corporate consulting, in my coaching. It's not only restricted to children, because this is the real learning process. It takes time. It takes far more time than calling both the kids and giving each of, both of them a whack on the behind or something. That's easy. Like it, that takes like 10 seconds. One whack to this one, one whack to that person. All that would have been achieved is that you got rid of your frustration. The children learned to avoid you. The children learned to run away from you. The children learned that what I did was not wrong, but getting caught was the problem. So next time, I'm going to make sure that I do not get caught. And since I'm not God, there's no way that I'm going to be able to supervise those kids 24/7. So now I've got a bunch of youngsters who are resentful, who have learned nothing, and whose focus now is on not getting caught, not on correcting themselves. They see no value and benefit in that. They consider themselves to have been right, maybe a bit stupid because they got caught, not because of what they did. Now that's an entirely undesirable outcome. But when you follow this process, you find, and I've always found invariably, that there is a huge amount of learning, both for them and for me. I'm saying for me because one of the salutary facts in my life is that when I do this question of asking the kids, why did you do something? Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes I find answers that are so refreshing, they're so absolutely out of the blue. It would never have occurred to me to say what the child is saying. I would never have seen that thing in that light. And the reason is very simple, because my perception is colored by my conditioning. The child does not have that conditioning yet. So before that child gets the conditioning, his view is absolutely 20/20 crystal clear. And so this person is able to really teach me how to look at things, right? And then the result is fine because, they've learned the lesson and they won't repeat it again. They're not stupid. Now, the same thing, as I said, I do also in my corporate consulting. I teach this. So those owners of corporations and people working in corporations and managers and leaders, you're getting this for free. They learn the lesson of how to correct their subordinates. Sit with the person, ask them, first of all, what happened? Actual facts. Not opinions. Where there is, you might be working in a situation where there is some camera footage, see that. Just watch it. No praise, no blame. That's the key thing. No praise, no blame. Don't say you did wrong. No, no, hold on. We're going to come to that. Right now, we are examining the data. This is the data. Once we have the data clear, is the data clear? Yes, it's clear. Now, therefore, what do we learn from this? No, before that, what were the options? So you behaved in a certain way. What were the options? What else could you have done? Now, remember, in that heat of the moment, the person did what they did. They weren't thinking straight. Their brains were clouded with emotions and so on. But now you're having this conversation later, so they are also cool-headed. They will be able to see. And once they realize that there's no praise, no blame, they're not going to get punished for this. The only thing here is, can you see the lessons in this thing and can you extract those lessons? And as long as they can do that, there's no praise, no blame. So therefore, people will actually look at things objectively, which is our object, which is our goal. So therefore, now you say, well, now what were the options available to you at the time? You did this, but you could have also done number two, you could have done number three, maybe there were more than three options available to you. Which do you think was or would have been the best option? Which would have been the better option than whatever you did? Then saying, going forward now we are plugging the holes. We're saying, now going forward, what would you like to do in this kind of a situation? We are not saying the situation will never happen again, because it will happen again. It will happen again and again and again. And obviously, the first time, the way you dealt with it was not good. Going forward, how would you like to deal with that? Now, this is the way to go about tarbiyah, wa tazkiyah, of akhlaq, of whether it's children or adults. Turn it into a learning opportunity. Turn it into a learning opportunity. Unfortunately, especially in our madaris in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and I know also in Egypt, because there are people here in America who are from Egypt and who have told me this in so many words, that, you know, this is what happens. And what happens is beating. It's corporal punishment. Beat the living daylight out of the kid. Put the fear of God into him. You're not putting the fear of God. You're putting your own fear, and the kid will do. He'll just wait for an opportunity to do it again when you can't catch him and you are not God. So there will be that opportunity. The kid learned nothing except that you are stronger than he is. And that's a pure animal reaction and animal response. No use. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about turning every mistake, even including, you know, something which is not just a mistake, maybe within quotes a crime, into a potential learning opportunity. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.